This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio, and the Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Here once again is Jake Miller.
Thank you, Russell. Up first, Tennessee will take on Mike White and the Florida Gators immediately following the conclusion of the Drive today at 6 on ESPN2. Tennessee enters the game as a 9.5-point favorite. I'm going to say we cover.
Do we know if we have overtime tonight?
We do not.
Should we hang out here and just watch the game? We're going to miss the game going home. But then...
Yeah, but then what are you going to do? Get on... Then you'll be stuck down there doing the Twitter spaces. Or I guess you could do it from your phone in the car.
No, you could leave at halftime and go to the house at halftime.
No halftime spaces. People get all mad about that.
Where's
the halftime, Russ? Russell?
People really get all in their feelings about those halftime deals, man.
How quickly y'all become entitled to something that didn't even exist like 2 years ago.
Halftime?
Yeah.
Dude, that's going back like 7 years now you've been doing that.
Yes, Russell.
You know, I remember the infamous time you do on your patio and I drove through your neighborhood? Laying on the horn?
Yeah.
You ran like a Goonie Bird down to try and put me on camera.
Like a what?
A Goonie Bird.
A Goonie Bird?
Yeah, like a big ostrich, like a Goonie Bird.
What exactly is a Goonie Bird?
I'm looking this up right now.
I have no idea. I mean, that's what me and Cody McClure always referred to you as. Big gangly-looking Goonie Bird.
He does not look anything like.
Thank you, Jake.
So the actual name for this is a Lazen Albatross.
Oh, the rhyme of the ancient mariner. Samuel Coleridge, he shot it down. Yeah.
Russell.
The albatross around your neck. That's where that idiom comes from.
Yeah, he does look like a Goonie Bird. Look at the beak on that thing. No. You ever taken a look at Russell's profile?
No, I'm looking at this one staring straight in my face, and it ain't Russell Smith.
Thank you. Thank you, Jake.
Look at the profile of it with the nose and everything. It's also slang for a foolish or awkward person or thing.
That's not me either.
If you look up the definition.
Please, please continue with your segment, Chick Miller.
Alrighty. And we got news out of Louisville. Fred Calgill of WLKY in Louisville is reporting that Chris Mack is out as the head coach of the University of Louisville men's basketball team.
Hmm. Big job open there. And they don't really know who the president is, who the AD is. Maybe they will hire Bruce Pearl. Maybe that's the perfect way for him to slide into a situation where there's no rudders on the ship.
No, because you got too many people. Go ahead, Bear.
I just read an article that just went up on ESPN with, you know, their – I can't remember. I'll have to double-check and see who wrote it. You know, the hot list for them. And, you know, it's the obvious ones like Pearl and Oates and Musselman and, I mean, Pine Scouts like Mick Cronin. There's one name on there that kind of makes me nervous because it would definitely – directly affect Tennessee basketball recruiting.
Who's that?
Steve Forbes.
Hmm. Oh, that'd be a good hire for them.
So, yeah, it would. And he's recruiting Knoxville and East Tennessee and the Mid-State hard.
It would also make it harder for us to pluck him out as Barnes' eventual successor, like so many of our fans seem to want to do.
Yeah.
And moving on to number 3, Georgia staffer John Jancic, a former defensive coordinator at Tennessee, is expected to join Brian Kelly's staff at LSU as a defensive analyst.
John the Janitor going to Baton Rouge?
Big John Janitors.
He's going to clean that mess up.
Good for him.
What a mess.
Good for him. Hope he does well down there.
And number 4, Trailing by 35 points shortly before the half, the Clippers point guard Reggie Jackson joked that the Clips were right where they wanted to be against the Washington Wizards, and then they rallied from 35 down to stun Washington in a comeback win. Luke Kennard had 7 seconds in the final, or 7 points in the final 9 seconds to complete 35-point comeback.
7 points in the final 9 seconds. Wow.
Got a connection with Luke Kennard.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice guy.
Wait, you're not going to tell us? I were sitting there waiting. He's like, yeah, I've got a connection.
Just thinking out loud.
I mean, I've got a connection to Eric Clapton. What's your connection?
Nope. I ain't going to tell you my connection to Luke Kennard.
Well, you have to. You can't say that you have a connection to an NBA player. You clearly want to tell us.
No.
What, are you Eskimo brothers?
No.
What's the connection? Why
I don't know. I
got
to go to the bathroom.
Right. Why won't you tell us?
Well, you're pulling a
you can't.
Wallace
no,
on
I demand. Bear and I are going to sit here in silence until you tell us.
Well, we're going to be sitting here in silence until the top 5 at 5, if that's the case. Call Steve Hamer in about 15 minutes and.
I mean, we'll just.
Quiet.
You
Bear,
will not
quiet.
Be allowed to participate in
quiet.
The show until you
Stop.
Tell us.
The show is over until you tell it. You have to say now. I don't even know who Luke Kennard is, man. Just,
played at
just
Duke.
Tell us.
He played at Duke.
He played at Duke. What's your connection?
Somebody I know dated his mother.
Yeah, you're not connected to him.
Get there if we need it
my,
to.
My connection to Clapton's closer than that.
Somebody.
I ate breakfast with Eric Clapton.
What, the Holiday Inn Express?
Not a table backstage at the arena about 30 years ago.
Yeah, I'm sure he remembers that fondly. Kennard briefly dated reality TV star Savannah Chrisley. He's
Whoa.
Also in a – who is that? Do you know who that is? I don't know who that is.
Yeah, it's growing up with – it's one of those reality shows with these – I mean, they aren't terrible people, but they're kind of obnoxious. But, yeah, she goes to Vanderbilt. She's been around. She's dated a lot of high-profile athletes.
Thank you, Jake. Why don't you make us extract that out of you? It's not so bad. Is his mom married? Is
oh,
gonna
she
get
is
him
now, I think. I don't know.
To your friend?
No.
No. Oh. Okay.
Dated. Past tense.
So strange, man. Why you make that so hard on us? All right, that is the Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Get on out there and make your dental visit with Knoxville Smiles. You can call them at 865-539-1776 to set up an appointment today, whether you need a routine dental cleaning or something a little more involved. You got a tooth that's got to come out, wisdom tooth removal, restorative procedures, a filling, a crown, bridge, veneers, Invisalign procedure. They do it all right there at their state-of-the-art West Knoxville facility. I go to get my teeth cleaned there. They're going to do a great job for you, just like they do for me. Dr. Steve Malone has been doing it for 25 years now in East Tennessee. No one does it better. Contact them today, 865-539-1776, to set up your appointment. Go online to KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Coming up, Steve Hamer joins the festivities, and can't wait to talk to him about Urosh tonight. Tennessee, have they found their wartime consigliere? Urosh
Placic. I think they found their Luca Brasi.
Will it keep up, or will the carriage turn into a pumpkin or whatever happened in the thing?
Mm-hmm. I fully expect him to continue to improve. I mean, he's been one of the more consistent players all season long. It's been a gradual process, but he's improved. Every time out on the floor, he's done a little bit better and a little bit better. And I look forward to continuing to watch the Serbian strangler continue to exert his dominance over the SEC. I hope he beats the crap out of that's who I want to see him fight. I want to see him just brutalize Walker Kessler.
Big opportunity for Tennessee to get 3 in a row here tonight and just establish some momentum. This would be a quality win. Saturday against Texas would be a quality win.
They're what, playing better.
Yeah. What do we have next
night.
Week?
Next week, I'm not sure. I want maybe Mississippi State.
Pull up the schedule here.
Looking that up right now.
I got some questions for Hamer.
A&M on Tuesday, and then South Carolina. I mean, you've got a great opportunity to put together
on
a six-game streak. Seven if you beat Vanderbilt. You could be on a seven-game win streak. What by the time Kentucky comes in here on February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but a man can dream, can he?
Hell yeah. And if we did, you imagine Kentucky coming into this snake pit with us on a seven-game winning streak and pissed off about the way things went up there a couple of weeks ago.
Come get some. Come get some, Kentucky. We're not going to push us around like you did last time. I mean, we'll put the Siberian Strangler, he'll put his elbow in that Toshiboy kid's ear in front of 21,000 rabid Vol fans. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for it. But first things first, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's take it one step at a time. Nate Oates would be very good at Louisville. That's probably who, like, if they don't have the appetite for the NCAA stuff with Pearl and
his
Will Wade's a non-starter.
Way too big, bro.
For Louisville, they get some of that KFC money.
I mean, it's
all monopoly money. It's college sports, bro. Yeah. If you've not been paying attention, it's all monopoly money.
I think that Musselman would be the one I would suspect if the SEC coaches might jump, just because he's got even more of a wandering eye than Pearl.
I was looking at it. Go ahead, Bear.
He's kind of a rolling stone.
I was looking at one of the short lists on ESPN that showed, of course, the big names like Cronin, Pearl, Musselman was on that list. Nate Oates was on that list. TJ mentioned Will Wade. Will Wade is nowhere on that list. And he's probably not, like you said, he's probably not on anybody's list right now.
No, Will Wade's Chernobyl right now.
Oates would be very good up there at Louisville. It'd be a great hire for them, but similar to what we said about Bruce Pearl in the show opening today, I mean, as much as I hate to say it, Alabama is a fine job for him, man. He showed that you can win the league. He won the league and the tournament there last year. Yeah, they've taken a step back this year, but have you seen their recruiting class they have coming in next year?
Pretty stout.
Yeah, they've got several five stars in there.
Yeah, he could get that and pull him up to Louisville probably.
I mean, we probably should be hoping that that happens, right? Please,
Louisville. I'd rather be. I mean, my first choice would be Pearl.
Please hire Nate Oates. Getting Pearl out of the league would be good too. But if they're not going to go down that route, if they're not going to go down that road, then yeah, get Nate Oates out of here and let Bama hire some clown so that Bama can be Bama again. By the way, shout out to the Georgia fans. I did find that amusing last night when they hit them with the just like football chant after Georgia won its first league game.
Yikes.
Against Alabama. Just like football.
Beautiful.
Some good chants generate from college crowds.
James Pierce continues his climb up the recruiting rankings. Of course, he's a five-star now on three. And according to 247, who reconnoitered their rankings today, he is now the number one, 171 overall player in the country, number 18 edge rusher in the 2022 class, a four-star prospect. So he is now... he's one of six Tennessee signees to make the final top 247, joining Addison Nichols, Joshua Josephs, Caleb Webb, Tyree West, and Tavid Jackson. And I believe he is now our highest-ranked player in the class of 2022, which, I don't know, 171 overall. We didn't even sniff a top 100 player. I guess it's just one of those glass half-full, half-empty things. I mean, the truth of the matter is he didn't become any better of a player today because of his 247 ranking go up. But it's not completely insignificant either, because so much of recruiting is perception, and we talk about this stuff, right? Oh, Tennessee signed the sixth class, best class in the SEC, the fourth best class in the SEC, and that That stuff can have a consequence. Vols class now rated 15th in the SEC, according to 247. One spot ahead of Auburn at 16. Three spots behind Mizzou.
Which they got that 1 5-star that catapulted them up.
Throws off the curve a little bit for them. Kentucky at the 11th best class. That will not stand, man. That will not stand. Got to put them in their place. I hope Tennessee bends them over a barrel and shows them the 50 states in Neyland this year.
Hope so. People forget, too, how important the conference rankings are with that. So those are the teams you're going to be playing up against, because people were making a big deal a few years ago. You know, oh, we got number 19 class in the nation. We got the number 23 class in the nation. It's like, okay, well, what are you in the SEC? Because that's who you're going to be playing against.
Your number to get on the show with us this afternoon, 546-8200. If you want to jump in. So, James Pierce, really excited about him. Now, he's got to get eligible. He's got some work to do in the classroom. I'm sure Heupel and those guys have put a plan for him. But that's always fun, the will he or won't he get eligible thing. Usually that lasts over the summer. Hopefully it's not one of those things where we're waiting up until kickoff to figure out whether or not he's going to be able to play next year. Because that's a guy that they compared to Leonard Floyd, who, of course, was a great player for Georgia, first-round draft pick of the Bears, and is now playing with the Rams. That's who they compared him to, just long, lanky kind of edge rush guy.
6'5", 220.
Yep. So big news there for Tennessee football. We're going to take a quick timeout right here. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Coming up, Steve Hamer joins the festivities on the G3 hotline when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell Beer and Jake cruising along with you on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Pleased to be joined right now by the big man, Steve Hamer, joining us on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, Steve. How are you, sir?
Man, doing absolutely fantastic this afternoon. Russell, I hope that you're doing great as well.
Hey, man, I am. We're in the thick of it right now in basketball season. And, you know, we want to get you on, first of all, just to talk Tennessee basketball, but particularly with the emergence of Uroš Plavšić. He's a guy that kind of reminds me of you, Steve, and just, you know, the size, first of all. He's got a long way to go to become as skilled as you were, but we always like to talk about the big guys with you and just your thoughts on his impact that he had on the team last week and where he can take it.
Well, first and foremost, thank you so very much for the kind words, but he's got a very short trip to get to where I was. You know, he's got a very high ceiling and he's got all the physical tools. And I think, you know, it's about time that we start saying his name, something like Uroš, you know, something. you gotta feel it deep within your loins. You gotta do that. But I'm so very proud of the work that he's put in. Because that stuff doesn't happen overnight, right? You know, you don't just go from getting relatively no playing time to being counted on in the crunch. You know, if someone were to have told you just a month ago that Uroš would command a double team from LSU, you probably would have said, nah, I think you got the wrong guy. Maybe John Fulkerson, maybe Olivier Kumwa in the post, but no. Uroš Plavšić is demanding double teams in the post. That's just kudos to all of the work that he's put in, because he cares deeply about this basketball team and he cares deeply about winning. You know, he's the biggest cheerleader that we've got, figuratively and literally. And the fact that, you know, he didn't pout when he was on the bench, he didn't let that really dictate his offense or defense in terms of how many minutes he got or didn't get. That never bothered him. So the fact that he is blossoming right now, man, I'm so very proud of him, and I hope that he has a big game tonight. Look, we don't need him to score 20, 25 points, but if he really dictates what happens in the post defensively, if he can score 10 or 12 points a game and come down with 6 or 7 rebounds a game, I think we're going to be just fine.
So you played in the trenches in this conference. What's different? Because obviously, you know, he was not a guy that a lot of Tennessee fans had pegged for the emergence that we've seen so far. What do you, when you watch him play last week in those two games, what are you seeing that he's doing differently that he hasn't done the past two seasons?
I think that he is and I got one word for you, and I say film. You know, Russell, the film never lies, right? You got a guy that says all the time, well, coach, I'm working hard. I did do that, or I cut off here, or I was running down the chute here. But when you sit down and you look at the film never lies. The film is brutally honest. And I think that he has really done a great job of getting into the film room and really buying into what Coach Barnes wants him to do and needs him to do. You know, basketball is so drastically different from when I played back in the 1990s, where everybody had a true center, a true five, whether they're 6'11", 6'10", or 7 feet or above. Everyone had a center, and that center was only back to the basket basketball. We didn't shoot the threes. We didn't step outside to shoot the 20 footer, whatever. So for him to get in and to become such a stalwart on the defensive end, he's really done his homework defensively by watching film, hedging on screens, and learning how to ice certain screens and force the screener to go a different way. Man, when you watch him play defensively, Russell, he does what he's supposed to do, and he's bought in, and he knows the scouting report. He does such a marvelous job, and we all know if you're going to play for Coach Barnes, you better play well defensively first and foremost. So for him to play well defensively, it leads to him getting more and more valuable time on the court.
I also think, Steve, that it's just an attitude thing, right? I mean, you mentioned Coach Barnes, like that's his style, is just that, you know, beating and banging type basketball. And, you know, no offense to the other guys, big guys in that rotation or even the guards, but he just brings an element of physicality that I think Tennessee was missing. And like you said, it's not like he's out there dropping 20 points a night or something, but somebody that won't back down from some of the challenges, won't get punked out there, Steve. Uroš Plavšić ain't getting punked. I mean, he might get dunked on. I don't know, but he's not going to go down without swinging.
Right. You're exactly right. And that really, it resonates with the Tennessee fan base because we've missed that tough guy. We've missed that guy, you know, since the days of Admiral Schofield, that, man, he wasn't going to be punked. He wasn't going to back down. You got Lamonte Turner that was the same way. Just tough-nosed, gritty kids that didn't care about the environment, didn't care about all the ancillary things that went along with basketball. Man, they were just in it to win it. And if you stepped foot in their territory, hey, man, we got something to say about it. And that's why it resonates so very well with the Tennessee fan base, because, you know, the big bad bully showed up the other day with LSU, you know, and they thought that, you know, they would do – you know, all the histrionics by throwing the ball into the stands before the game and this is our house and all that. Well, you know what? They got punched in the mouth the other night and they went home whimpering. You know, so Tennessee fans really love that even more, that Uroš didn't back down. Santiago hasn't backed down. And the team has played so well together, but they showed another level of toughness that, you know, in which they haven't displayed thus far this year.
Steve Hamer with us this afternoon on The Drive. And Steve, the season continues. Big one tonight against the Gators. Big rivalry game. What are your thoughts on this one? Can Tennessee keep this good mojo going and get on a little bit of a roll here?
They are, you know, and I think they're going to keep it rolling. But, you know, make no mistake, Florida's still talented. You know, whether they have the Castleton kid or you know, tonight or not, it's irrelevant. They're going to play hard. it is one of those rivalry matchups. And again, make no mistake that this is a traditionally what they call a trap game. That, you know, Florida has now will have played their third game in 5 days, and they're going to be without their true center who averages 15, 16 points a game, and they're down talent-wise. You know, Mike White, his back is against the wall, and, you know, people are talking about his job and all that. Make no mistake about it. These guys are going to come in here expecting to win this basketball game tonight. And if Tennessee does not come out and play well from the very get-go, they're going to allow Florida to stay around, and it could be anybody's ball game. You know, it will be a la what happened here against Ole Miss, where all of a sudden you look up and it's like, oh, my goodness, we're going to overtime with Ole Miss, and we may lose this game at home. So if Tennessee doesn't come out firing on all cylinders, playing tough-nosed defense, knocking down some shots, getting some fast-break opportunities, it could be one of those nights again.
Isn't that wild? You know, you call it a trap game, and you're right, man. I see that, but I know it's not. They're not a ranked Florida team. It's still a big rivalry game, and what does it say about Tennessee's program that we can refer to Florida as a quote unquote trap game?
Yeah, it says that Tennessee's program is not. They haven't arrived yet, obviously, but we're still ascending. You know. I think for many years, and you can probably attest to this too, Russell, for many years, Tennessee basketball fans were apathetic. And you would much rather have a fan either love you or hate you, much rather than them being apathetic, which means they don't care. So we've had that for the longest time. But the fact that Tennessee fans are rabid right now, they're knowing that, man, we're better than Florida, and we should beat Florida. I think we're 9.5 point favorites right now, and we should beat them by double digits. So you know, that just tells me that our fan base is passionate, they care, and they know that, man, Tennessee has got to come out and they got to play hard well or early on the defensive end, turn Florida over, and put Florida out of their misery early. Don't let them have any chance of any thought of winning this basketball game. If they do that early, it will be a double-digit win.
Man, we always like to go down memory lane with you. I remember some great ones with Florida back in the day. You played with Dan Cross and Stacy Poole and all those guys back in the day. What do you remember? Did you guys have any success against them back in the day, Steve?
We did. We had a fair amount of success back in the day. And, you know, I just remember, you know, playing against the really talented – Dimitri Hill. You know, they called him
the meat hook. Yeah.
Meat hook. I'll never forget, man. And I've got a friend who I go to church with that may be listening right now that never lets me live it down. You know, my senior year, we got down by 15, 20 points to Florida on senior day. We battled all the way back and, you know, got it to within a point, then came down and tied it up. And then the last second, I was covering. I switched off and covered the meat hook, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he was known for the hook shot in the middle, the little jump hook. Wasn't known for being a three-point shooter. So I switched off last second, emergency switch, and I dropped back because he was a little bit more fleet of foot than I was, thinking that he's going to drive to the basket, and I dared him to shoot the three. Well, guess what? He buries the three. So, you know, that's one of my lasting memories here of the University of Florida. You know, we had some, you know, incredible battles, man. Andrew DeClerc, all of those guys, man, just a very, very talented team back in the day. Obviously, they've had a great amount of success winning some national championships, you know, with those guys. But, you know, it has always been a fight with the Florida Gators tooth and nail.
Well, at least you didn't get burned by the meat hook. I mean, you let that dude shoot from outside. I probably would have made the same decision.
Absolutely. And you know, I stand by that decision right now. And but I'm telling you, man, my friend that I go to church with, he never lets me live it down. So I fully expect you hear something about the meat hook tonight.
Now, wait, what would O'Neal say? I mean, you just can't get beat by the meat hook, right? You got to make him go out there and shoot. But still, I mean, it's never going to be good enough for KO.
Yeah, but surprisingly, KO could live with that.
Okay.
He lived with it.
Yeah.
You know, he was for all of the things that KO had that were probably considered negatives, you know, he had a real mind for basketball, and he understood basketball. You know, we weren't so caught up in analytics back then. We just knew that, look, this guy shoots the ball at about a 17-18% clip from the three-point line, and if you have to switch out on him on an emergency switch, let him shoot it. If he hits it, we live with that. So, you know, he lived with it, and you know, I'm thankful that he didn't go off on me or make me run laps, you know, for senior day, but it is what it is.
Bear, jump in here. I know you love the old Kevin O'Neill stories with Hamer. What do you got?
Well, I mean, it was just – I was in school at the same time, so, like, I was in the arena – when you made the decision to let the meat hook shoot the three, never held it against you. I think it's kind of bad that your buddy from church does. But I was doing a deep dive, and there were some all-time great Tennessee basketball names that you played with, and I just wondered whatever happened to some of these guys. Alico Dunk.
Yeah. You know, Alico Dunk has what I still consider the greatest basketball name in basketball history. I mean, that will go down in lore. He is now a girls' high school basketball coach in the state of Kentucky. And I think that name will carry him and serve him well for the rest of his life. I don't care how bad his program is. You know, how good his program is. You know, when you come into a room and interview and they say, you know, is your name Dunk? Yes, it is. You're hired.
Pretty good. Do you keep in touch with a bunch of those guys that you played with, Steve? Or I'm sure you can't keep in touch with everybody, but.
I do. I think the guy that I talk to probably most is Al, believe it or not, Alan Houston.
Yeah. Okay.
Alan, you know, obviously is the salt of the earth and still has family in this area, but Alan and I have developed a really good relationship. I got a chance to hang around him in New York when Tennessee basketball played up at Madison Square Garden against Texas Tech. And, you know, he talked to the team and did some pregame stuff. So, you know, I probably talked to Alan Houston the most, talked to Aaron Green quite a bit. Aaron has been very, very successful as a high school basketball coach, and now he's doing, you know, he's endeavoring to do some other things as well. So it's weird because you think that you will have these long lasting relationships, and that it'll never change. You know, much as in when you graduate from high school, you think you'll talk to these, you know, 120 people you graduate with for the rest of your lives. Well, in actuality, you probably talk to 5 or 10 of them, and you forget the rest of them. Not by design, but it's just that you know, life happens. You get married, you have kids, and you know, life kind of goes on.
Oh, we got Facebook now, Steve. I got people that I haven't seen since elementary school, and I can find out what they had for dinner just logging on to social media.
That's where you and I differ. I don't even know how to – I have a Facebook, but I don't even know how to operate it, so I'm a little intimidated. Yeah. I'm looking at my phone right now.
You're not missing anything. You're probably better off without it. Quite frankly.
Well, otherwise, Stevie's always in such a great mood.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I've got 62 notifications right now on my home screen from Facebook that I had. I have no idea what that means. I don't know what the number means. Is that, you know, people trying to get a hold of me or whatever, man? I just try to stay away from it.
Well, there you go. Don't try and contact Steve on Facebook. Steve, what else we got for you? On the way out, man. We're talking about Bruce Pearl and Louisville, and you know, the Louisville job is open today. And obviously, you know, for guys like you and me and Bear, that's a blue blood job, right? But I look at Bruce, and he's got Auburn number one. He was in a Final Four 2 years ago, and I don't know that that's this huge step up that I'm sure Louisville fans view it as.
You know, I remember the day, you know, it came down for me on the choice of schools. I narrowed it down to the University of Louisville and the University of Tennessee, and for all intents and purposes, man, I was going to the University of Louisville. You mentioned the fact that they're a blue blood program. You know, back when they played Memphis State back in the day, man, I was the only one in my area that wore red. I loved the University of Louisville. I loved Denny Crum and Purvis Ellison and Wagner. And, man, just the list goes on and on and on and on with all the Louisville greats. You know, and I chose to come here, and I'm very happy and would never change that. But, you know, something inside of me tells me that if offered, I think Bruce Pearl might just jump ship. Because Auburn is and always will be a football school, right? They're you know, basketball is going to play the second fiddle, and they're always, you know, despite the fact that they're number one in the country. But, you know, Russell, what goes up must come down. You know, Auburn football, they're going to get back to a national prominent level once again at some point in the future. They're going to get back there, and then basketball is going to be the second fiddle once again, the little brother. So, but when you go to a program like Louisville, you know, Louisville football, they were good for a while. They had an outstanding quarterback who now plays for the Baltimore Ravens. You know, but that aside, are they a prominent school in terms of football? No, they're not. So basketball is the stir that stirs the pot, right? The straw that stirs the pot. So when you have an opportunity to go to a school like Louisville, a blue blood program, that, man, you can dominate the conference that they're in, you know, hey, what's to keep you from going? I think he may, you know, listen to them if they come calling.
Man, the SEC is just so deep right now, and you got, you know, Alabama's struggling this year after being so dominant last year, and Tennessee has a good team, but they're probably, you know, third or fourth best in the league right now. Long way to go. We'll see how high Rick Barnes's boys can climb. But man, you watch Pearl go up there and almost get taken down by Conzo Martin's Missouri Tigers on the road. It's just a different league than it was 3 or 4 years ago.
It's very much so, and I think you're hitting the nail right on the head. And you know, I co-sign on what you just said, because There are no easy basketball games anymore. No. With the fact that Georgia got a win the other night, you know, it on any given night, if you don't bring your A game, you have a chance of losing that basketball game. Conversely, if you go to Louisville, you go to the ACC. Okay, you know, Duke has been they've been in the king of the hill for the longest time, but look at North Carolina this year. Man, they've taken several steps back. Who else in that conference? Maybe a Florida State. You know, Wake Forest is playing decent right now. But who else in that conference could you say is a stalwart that you know, hey, man, if I'm Bruce Pearl and I look to jump ship to Louisville, man, I really got to watch out for this team and that team. I dare say that the SEC is much deeper, Russell, than the ACC this year and probably the last couple of years.
Yeah. And that's what scares me about tonight. You called it a trap game. I think that's spot on, Steve. This is Tennessee's got to go out there and take care of business tonight. Can't slip up against the Gators.
Absolutely, man. I hope that this 6 o'clock game does not, you know, thwart a raucous crowd. We want to really welcome the Gators to Knoxville by bringing about 20,000-21,000 here. So I'm hoping that this 6 o'clock start, man, doesn't hurt our attendance, and we're loud and proud and dinner night and rooting on our volunteers. So everybody get over to TBA. I think there's a few, you know, seats still left. Get over there and support our volunteers tonight.
Steve, great stuff as always, my friend. Always appreciate your time. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Russell, Bear, you guys are the best. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Steve Hamer, making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive.
As always, very, very humble. And because I'll tell you right now, if Plosvic averaged what Stevie averaged his senior year, we'd be a Final Four team this year.
Steve's very humble. Urosh, he's got a long way to go to get to that level.
Yeah,
of production.
18.4 points a game and 9.8 rebounds. I mean, basically averaged a double-double.
But it could happen.
Close to 20
he's,
points a game.
Like, Urosh is smooth with the ball, man. He's not going to be firing up threes like the meat hook back in the day or anything like that. But, man, if he can continue to develop that touch around the basket, and he's pretty nimble for being – I mean, he's a massive human being. Like he's not one of these guys
yeah.
7 feet. He's like really 6'10". Like, he's over 7 feet tall.
No, he's proportioned like a linebacker – and he's 7 foot, whatever he is.
Long arms.
I did want to ask Stevie, do you remember, I was trying to remember, did Stevie ever shoot a three in a game?
You have to ask him that last time. I don't recall.
And what would KO have done?
Yeah, well, that's probably the thing. If Steve Hamer had shot a three ball, O'Neal would have had a conniption fit.
A conniption? It's a euphemistic way of phrasing it. It had a meltdown.
Stay with us. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio. We'll open up the phone lines here if you want to jump in. 865-546-8200, your number to get on board, 546-8200. Back with more Fan Run Radio after this. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online, fanrunradio.com, free Fan Run app. Yes, Bear.
Big Stevie Hamer went 3 for 13 from three his sophomore year.
Oh.
He did not shoot another one.
All right.
After his sophomore year.
Roughly 23%.
That would be when Kevin O'Neal showed up.
That
lines up. Tennessee's won 6 of their last 7 against Florida. Over those 7 games, neither team has reached 80 points. Expect a defensive struggle again tonight at Thompson Bowling. And Tennessee still has not scored 70 points in a league game.
I thought we were going to.
Maybe that could change tonight.
I mean, they're going to have to. Like, you have to score in the 70s to win in the NCAA tournament. And they've just got to figure some things out. Some of these shots have just got to start falling. Some guys got to get hot. I mean, Chandler's a big part of it. He's got to get more consistent.
Yeah. I mean, there were a bunch of those. I noticed against LSU, there were at least 3 that were in and out. And they're just, for whatever reason, they just aren't falling.
Triple J's got to get going, man. He's got such a nice-looking shot, and it just does not go in.
He works hard, and he gets open.
Yeah, there's a reason he's open. I don't think he's drawing a ton of attention on the scouting report tonight for Florida. Maybe tonight is the night he breaks out.
Well, he's also, even though he's been kind of cold from three and not scoring a lot of points, he's kind of the glue on offense. We look a lot better offensively when he's in there, when he's not shooting it.
Knows where to be, makes the right pass, doesn't turn it over too much. He's a nice player. He can be a better player, though. Al Pinkins is on the Florida staff, former Vols assistant under Donnie Tindall.
And the Vols.
Was also, get this, a college teammate of our guy, Justin Gainey, at NC State.
At NC State. Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Interesting.
Tennessee currently at number 11 in the NCAA's net ratings. This is, for those of you who are keeping score, the formula that has replaced the RPI. Remember the old RPI, Bear?
Yeah.
How can you forget
the
RPI?
Remember, Bruce Pearl was a master at manipulating it.
Yep.
It worked, though.
Vols are number 11 in the net. Each of Tennessee's 5 losses are quad one losses. So.
I think everybody outside of our fan base's perception of Tennessee is a lot more upbeat than what ours has been so far this season. I mean, nobody wants to play us outside of Kentucky a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Man, if Tennessee can keep on this, if we can keep this mojo going, newfound physicality, courtesy of Urosh.
Offense is playing better. Defense is maintaining.
I'm ready for another shot at Kentucky here in a couple weeks. You know, maybe not now. We got to build up to it, but I like our chances here at Thompson Bowling. Vols still unbeaten at home this year.
If I gave you a choice between beating Auburn here or beating Kentucky here, which one are you taking?
Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're number one. It's Bruce.
Bruce.
We've beaten Kentucky before. We've seen that movie. Not that I don't want to see it again. I'll watch it every time. It's one of those. It's the Shawshank Redemption, man. If it's on, I'm watching.
It's like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Watch it in the summertime.
Chris says,
"Man, it would be sweet to get over on Pearl."
Oh yeah, no doubt. Chris on Twitter says, "Did you guys see Justin Williams weighing in at 215 today? Can he be the big back our offense is missing?" Yeah, we hit on that some yesterday. I did see that, man. That's impressive.
I think he can. I've been high on him since I finally did some research after you kept talking about him.
You did research?
Yeah.
Wow.
We do our research. Have you done your research?
Yeah, I mean, I think if he's 215 before he's played a game after only being on campus for about a month, that's a guy who will be well over 220. I mean, he could get pretty burly after a year or two in a college weightlifting program.
Oh yeah.
Did you see what he wants to be? Are you aware of his off the field life?
No. What's he putting on majoring in?
Super intelligent young man.
Mm-hmm.
Had over 4.0 grade point average. I think he might have been his valedictorian at high school. And wants to go to med school. He wants to be, I'm going to mispronounce this, an anesthesiologist.
Anesthesiologist.
Thank you, Jake.
Yeah.
He'll probably make more money doing that than he ever could in the NFL.
So my uncle was in the Air Force.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bank. I'm talking millions.
He made a lot more money outside of the Air Force than he did in.
Yeah. He wants to be an anesthesiologist. Tomba wants to be a doctor as well.
How about that?
I think he's in pre-med.
Dr. Tomba.
Rick says, are you ready for this, guys?
What we got?
This is a little off topic.
Okay.
Rick says he needs some dating advice. Well, you have come.
I'm here for it.
You have come to the right place, Rick. Do you think it's weird to date a girl with the same name as your sister?
Yes. No. Be a little bit strange.
Wait, that's the advice he wanted?
I don't know what he wants. I think it depends on the name. I think it depends on what the name is. If it's a super normal name like
Beth,
Emily.
Yeah, Kate, Emily, Beth,
Julie.
I think that would be fine. I don't think that would be weird, but like my mom has a really unique name, right?
Your mom does?
Yeah, my mom's name is Lachlan, right? So you don't want to vote. Well, and mothers are different, obviously, but like if your sister had a really unique name, then
Lachlan is your mom's first name.
Yes, Bear. Do you need some time to process this?
Well, I'm trying to. What did they call her growing up? Just Lachlan?
Some people called her Lockie. She hates that. Don't call her that. You ever meet her?
Smith. I'll be very respectful to Miss. That's Mrs. Smith to me.
I thought he was asking for advice, like if he's going on a date. I was going to say, she invites you to a restaurant you don't like, bring your own food. Be a man.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
She's going to invite you to a restaurant. I mean, this is the problem with your generation, Jake Miller. You guys have no cojones. Women want a man who's confident, who's going to make the decisions. You don't go out and let a woman decide where you're going to eat. You say, hey, I'm picking you up. We're going to this new place here. It's going to be fantastic. That's what they want. Take it from me. This
take
is
charge.
Captain Romance speaking here. You want
to? You also have to take into account how picky people are.
I mean, do you want to go out with a picky eater?
Well, a girl ordered a well-done steak on a date one time with me, and I made her pay for it. Asked her if she wanted some lettuce, some cheese, tomato, and a bun to go with it. I wasn't paying for that. It's a waste of cash.
So weird.
So you just asked her to go Dutch, essentially, on mid-date.
Oh, yeah. As soon as she ordered that, it was...
You refused to pay for a well-done steak.
I will not pay for a well-done steak. I don't care who you are.
Well-done steaks in any kind of the space program.
I can actually respect that, Jake. I can. It's still weird, but I can respect it. Stay with us.
I'm the weirdest person you'll meet, Nato.
Hour number 3 of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this.